Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, let's continue our discussion. We're reading from the book of Luke, chapter 12. Explain the power of treasure in heaven. The Bible says in Luke, chapter 12, beginning from verse 16, and a certain rich man, that his land was very productive, and because of that, he began to reason to himself, that this is what I will do to secure my tomorrow. Everything that I have now, I will gather it and put it in a barn. And then I will say to my soul, in verse 19, soul, you have much security, much money, plenty houses, plenty land, everything laid up for many years to come. Therefore, take your ease, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and who now will own what you have prepared? He said, this is the way it is with anybody who lays up treasure for himself that is on the earth and is not rich toward God. How is somebody rich toward God? Let's quickly read further down. He was now saying to the disciples, this is the reason why I'm telling you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Now, please, everybody listen to this. Life, he says, is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Please, let's bring it to modern times. And your life more than the car you drive, or the certificates you carry, the volume of salary you earn, the amount of shares you have bought up. He said, life is more than all these things. Listen to me. Jesus, when he will say something, he's speaking the ultimate of wisdom. You can never gainsay his words. You doubt them at your own peril. You doubt them at the risk to your life. You doubt them at the risk to your sanity. If you disobey him, you are the one that will lose. He will never be proven wrong. You can't prove him wrong. The Bible makes it clear. This is the wisdom of God by whom all things were made. And without him, nothing was created that was created. Therefore, if that wisdom came down to the earth and uttered the word, you'll be stupid to think there's a modification to it possible. He says simply, the man who doesn't have materially is not inferior to the man that has plenty. Are you getting my point? And listen, you have to exercise yourself to believe this thing. Rejoice while you trek and your friends are driving. Believe me, life is not dependent upon the kind of car that they drive. What I'm telling you is very important. Rejoice when your friends are going to a place you can't approach. They tell you about all the trips they've taken abroad. You cannot even identify one international airport. Life is not about airplanes and the number of times you have been upon them. Are you getting my point? He said, life is not about food. Let me tell you another thing. What he was saying is that your ability to enjoy life is not dependent upon the amount of material resources that you have. One day, a friend of mine and I were talking. And we had just reached the level then when we started buying cars for ourselves. And one day, I mean, you know the way it is. Young man buys a Tokumbo car, you know that the way it is. And then one day, we were talking. I think we saw one of these brand new Mercedes-Benz drive past. And we described how it would be lovely to be inside one of them. In fact, I told him that I wonder how people in those cars feel. If I can feel this good in the small one we are driving, and feel better than this in some of the better ones we are driving. But how those guys who drive brand new S-classes, the other day they were describing the new 7 Series that BMW just released. He said, how do they feel? Don't forget, they said, these people, Rolls Royce. I was watching the one Swiss auto show recently, and they said that Rolls-Royce unveiled what they called the baby Rolls. That they introduced a new realm of Rolls-Royces that were smaller than the typical ones. And they called it the baby Rolls. And listen to this, it's bigger than the 7 Series BMW. That's the baby Rolls. So I asked myself, how are those in the father Rolls feeling? Do you get my point? If the baby Rolls is bigger than the 7 Series BMW, anyway, that time, that day, my friend and I finished. And by the time we finished analyzing everything, then, this was years ago, he said, do you know what? In reality, those people inside those cars are not happier than us. That is true. But I also told him, therefore, understand that you in the car, you are not happier than those who are trekking. Do you get to? No, you are getting the point I'm making. Yes, they are not happier than us. True. Don't just make ourselves feel happy. Let's tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It means we are not happier than the guy on his motorbike. I remember the story I told in one of my books. I read it somewhere, actually, about the man who, a rich industrialist, the setting of the stories in the United States of America. He said one day he was on the beach somewhere, and he saw a fisherman. lying down under the tree in the morning around 11 o'clock, smoking a pipe. So he asked the man, why are you not out there fishing? The man said, because I've caught enough fish for the day. The guy said, still early in the day, why don't you just catch more fish? He said, what will I do with it? I have enough for all everything that I need. The man said, look, let me explain to you. I'm an industrialist, so I understand. That's what he was saying, in effect. You go out, you catch more fish. You sell the excess fish, you get some money. The man said, what will I do with the money? He said, this is what you do. When you have enough money, you can buy more boats. And the man looked at him, and then you can catch even more fish. Even more fish. What do I do with the more fish? You sell the more fish, all right, and get even more money. He said, after a while, you have a long fleet of boats, fishing boats. He said, you can even fit outboard motors, and you can go and fish in deeper waters. And the man said, all of this for what purpose? He said, then you can really enjoy life like me. He said, what do you think I am doing right now? If I have to go through all of that to get back to where I am right now, bros, forget it. What am I saying? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. A friend of mine wanted to make a decision once. I said, why are you doing this? He said, instead of no money, I looked at him. I said, you know your problem? He said, what? Because at that time, I considered him the richest of my friends. I said, your problem is that you're not satisfied inside yourself. He said, it is true. I said, the satisfaction you don't have right now, more money will never give it to you. It won't give it to you. Believe me. You will discover what the Bible told us before. Vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. Listen, look, take the words of Jesus very seriously. Take those words very seriously. He said, a man's life, he was quoting Solomon in effect, vanity upon vanity, all is what? Vanity. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Because what's driving people, especially into crime, is because they think that their lives will improve when they possess some more. Believe me, Jesus said, it doesn't. Now let's just continue reading. Now, he was teaching the people how, therefore, not to worry. He said, what do you spend your energy for? He said, in effect, verse 31, if I'm not going to worry about things, he says, seek for God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's adding from the book of Matthew. And all these things shall be added to you. Now, where I was going is verse 32 of this Luke chapter 12. He said, do not be afraid, little flock. Listen to this. When you tell somebody, don't be afraid, what does that tell you? There is reason to want to be afraid. Do you get my point? Why did he tell them, don't be afraid? He had told them that everything you have been worrying about in life, stop worrying about it. Don't get the point. You have been laboring to keep your tomorrow secure. Somebody said, don't worry about tomorrow. Do you get what I'm saying? That all the plans you have made for the security of tomorrow is a useless plan. They are all useless plans. Waste of time. Listen, you will be afraid. So Jesus spoke to them and said, don't be afraid. This is the reason. He said, for your heavenly Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He said, therefore, verse 3, sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. Notice this, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, why did I read all of this? I'm trying to emphasize something to us concerning this matter of financial prosperity. That what should be paramount in our hearts, okay, is what? To have foundation. We have talked about faith in Christ Jesus as a foundation for all things that our lives are going to achieve. And we said that the next thing we do is to lay up what? Treasure in heaven. So that we might contact the blessing of God which makes rich and doesn't add sorrow. What am I saying? Listen, this is the way it works. Don't ever forget it. If you have the opportunity, this is what he's saying, to make an earthly investment or make a spiritual investment, make the spiritual one first. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, that in fact, when you are doing things on the earth, it must always be with a knowledge that there's no security for anything on the earth. No security. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. The first thing we do, laying a foundation for financial prosperity, okay, having become one of faith in Christ Jesus, is to lay up what? Treasure in heaven. I made this statement last time, let me make it again. I said the switch to God's power is the continual doing of good works. Now listen, we are talking about these principles as it applies or as they apply to financial prosperity. But the interesting thing is that they apply essentially to every part of life in which you desire prosperity. Do you get the point I'm making? But I want to explain a number of points. Talking about this switch of God's power. If you want to prosper in life, please, you must lay up treasure in heaven. And what I'm saying is this, because I want to correct something. I began it last time. That when we are talking about laying up treasure in heaven, it is what you do in the interest of other people, not in your own interest. Because the motivation I found these days, that a lot of Christians use for giving, and which many are taught to use, is selfishness. If you want a big thing, give out a small thing. Listen to me, I don't have time to go into the details of analyzing it. It doesn't work like that. You know what works? The continual doing of good works. Please read my tract, Cheerful Giver. If you can't get a hand of the copy, download it from the internet, from our website. Look, a cheerful giver is somebody, listen, that gives for the sake of giving, knowing that God has charge of his life, and God loves him so much that he will never lack anything. Therefore, his giving is a reflection of his faith. Listen, you can't buy anything from God. You can't. You just can't. What do you do? Because I want us to understand this, you're laying treasure in heaven. It is not as if, yes, so here, I need plenty of money. Let me start laying up treasure in heaven. Because the way you lay up treasure in heaven, as a matter of fact, as we have seen, is by doing of good works. He says, sell all that you have and give to charity. That's what he said. He said, by so doing, you will have treasure in heaven. Do you get the point I'm making? But I want to explain something. Because with God, motive counts. I need to say this thing again and again until people fully understand it. With God, motive counts. If your motive is selfishness, what you are doing is sowing a spiritual seed, which the Bible says, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. Please let me explain it again. If you get up that, oh, I need a car, therefore I go and buy a bicycle and give it out. You know what you have done? You have wasted your time. You may as well stand in your house and be shouting, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, for the amount of results you will get from that. The man who will get a car for giving out a bicycle is a man who gave out the bicycle because he saw somebody who needed a bicycle. Do you get my point? He said, the one that closes his ears to the cries of the poor, he himself will cry and God will not answer. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, he that shows mercy is the one that will do what? Obtain mercy. If you do good works for wrong motivation, Paul said, even though I give my body up to be burned, and it's not motivated by the love that is inside me, I profit nothing. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, let me just summarize it. There are two reasons why people should give. Number one, out of faith. And number two, out of love. What do I mean by out of faith? I know that, listen, my life is not determined by what I have today, so I can freely give. Do you get my point? Let me summarize everything I'm trying to say, because we're talking about financial prosperity. The foundation for financial prosperity. If you want to prosper in life, you must be a cheerful giver. Not a man who gives one thing so he can get, but a man who cultivates the culture of continual giving. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Of helping those who are in need. I said something, that when God is blessing people, oftentimes we don't know the reason why he's blessing them. No, we don't. Because the Bible says that what God rewards openly, there are things that were done what? Where? In secret. In secret. And like we said, he himself does not know how. Sometimes the man that God is blessing doesn't know exactly why he's blessing him. And let me add this one to it. We're talking about filling up your clouds. This is how God does it. God always has an excuse for anything that he's doing. He called Abraham one day and said, go and sacrifice your son. And God really rubbed it in. He said, your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, you know, so that there's no confusion. Don't mistakenly go and retrieve Ishmael from wherever you sent him to. Do you follow what I'm going to say? And then Abraham went on to Mount Moriah. And when he got there, he was about to kill Isaac. In fact, as far as he was concerned, Isaac was gone. And God said, hold it. Because of this thing you have done, I swear. Because he said, by myself I have sworn. In blessing, I will bless you. I I will make your name great. You will be so blessed that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. He said it was because of this thing that he did. Please get what I'm trying to explain. I'm talking about the switch that releases God's power. Listen to this. I said something last time that God gives us the opportunity to fill our clouds. Listen. If you have just started any money, don't settle yourself first. Settle yourself last. What am I saying? Giving, being generous, being a kind person is priority. It's not something you do with leftover. People say, who do I give this money to? I just started any money. I say, who did God use to bring you to that level in life? You were in school. Your parents were always sending you money. They didn't have too much, but they made sure you had. Oh boy, that first salary doesn't go to church. I mean, pastor, I should tell you the truth. It doesn't. People say, that one goes to God. That God is also inside your father. I can prove it to you. I just don't have the time. When Jesus blessed a man, they returned to give thanks. Jesus said, where are the other nine? Because he healed 10 lepers. Only the Samaritan returned. He said, how come it's only the Samaritan that returned to come and give God glory? How did he know they were not dancing somewhere, giving God glory? Because it was irrelevant. He that blessed them was still present. Going to the temple to go and give God glory wasn't going to work. The man that blessed them was still present. The place they should have gone was his presence. To go and bow down and say thank you. Are you getting the point I'm making? You don't have any money. These are the things you do to make your tomorrow great. You were in a particular company. Your boss taught you everything. And then one day he released you and settled you like we say in this part of the world. And then you started any money. The first thing you bought was a car. You don't have sense. What is wrong with going back to the man's house and giving him a fridge, an air conditioner, giving him a generator, giving him stuff? Say, sir, the trade you taught me for the last 15 years has begun to bear fruit. I've come to say thank you to God by giving you part of the proceeds that we just received. But, see, there's what the Bible calls the time of your visitation. You can't leave some things till later. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And we're not talking about selfishness now. We are talking about a real deep sense of gratitude. This is how you lay up treasure in heaven. Let me tell you, it's a matter of priority. You should help somebody in life who needs help. You know, one of the things I found out why a lot of people can't give to anybody. They are so used up. You know, by used up, the guy earns 15,000 naira or 20,000 or 30,000 a month. He has bought shoe on credit. He has bought suit on credit. Even a woman, he don't add gold on credit, cosmetic on credit, everything on credit. So that by the time the money finally comes, if he's a good person, he first settles all the creditors. Let me tell you, the shoe did not wear for 15 years and he did not die. 6 more months ain't going to kill you. Yes. The friends that were your friends for 10 years when you didn't have fine cosmetics, fine suits, 6 more months won't drive them away out of your life. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Believe me, I have found out one of the ways by which Satan retrieves people. Now, in my retrieve, when God has delivered them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, one of the ways by which Satan retrieves them back is because of the selfishness and the wickedness of their hearts. Satan said, this one, he won't go anywhere. Just watch it. We will hold him back in poverty. Why? He's always thinking of himself. And you know the reason why people do that? Because they actually think that their security is based upon what they gathered by themselves. Once, we were traveling somewhere many years ago, and we slept over in the house of one man, and I heard him and his friend discuss, and his friend was telling him about how many he has tried, though God has really helped him. The guy corrected the guy. He corrected his friend. He said, I don't believe in God. I only believe in myself. And you know, I felt bad for him. I was a young man. Oh God, please, you must understand that. Believe me, I understand something about myself. I'm a special person before God. Now, listen, anybody can be special if they want. Do you get my point? I have chosen to be special. Are you getting what I'm saying? And therefore, I understand that for that man to say that thing in my hearing, he either has to repent or God will judge him because I heard it. I wanted to go back later to go and see him. Because if I didn't have to go back, I knew that this guy is gone. He's a goner, like you say. You utter such rubbish in the ears of a man dedicated to following God. God has to show you as an example. Did you hear what that guy said? Don't believe him. Watch it while I destroy him.
Are you bigger than Nebuchadnezzar? Who ruled all the world he knew? Nebuchadnezzar had the power to kill and to live a life. He does like this, you are rich. He does this way, you are poor. What's this man who just made a bit of money, bought a car? You know? And he said, I don't believe in God. I only believe in myself. And when I heard that, I shook my head. I said, this guy, he's a goner. Of course, except he repents. Now, I'm explaining something. But a man who is of faith, let's quickly read 1 Timothy chapter 6. You see how he lives his life. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul said in verse 17, he was writing to Timothy, he said, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He said, let them fix that hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Verse 18, he said, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. When they do this, he said in 19, they will be storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. How do I store treasure as a foundation? Do you get my point? For prosperity. He said, by doing good, by being rich in good works, by being generous and ready to share. It will be outside our scope in this series of teachings to begin to discuss the details of how to do good. Please, if you need more on that, you can listen to our series, Present on One MP3 CD, Your Money. That's the title. Your Money. We discussed that on how to do good, especially financially. But I just want to say in passing, there is nobody that God doesn't give the opportunity to do good. That he doesn't give some resources. The Bible described the Macedonians that they were in the depths of poverty, yet they were able to squeeze out from their own lack to be a blessing to other people. There is nobody. There are those who say, when God really blesses me, I'll really help some people I forget. The Bible says it's acceptable according to what a man has and not according to that which he doesn't have. An interesting part is, he said, the man who is not faithful in little will not be faithful in much. I will leave it there. Today's foundation I have discussed is that continual doing of good works by which we purchase for ourselves what? Treasure in heaven. The Lord is good. Now, there's something about righteousness which the Bible says delivers from death. Let me quickly define the word righteousness. We are still talking about laying foundation for financial prosperity. Righteousness simply means doing things that God says is right. I like the way John said it. He said, he that doeth righteously is what? Righteous. Now, there is the righteousness which we have discussed about, by which God removes all our past and gives us a fresh life in Christ Jesus. And that one comes by faith. But he said, if indeed you have been made righteous by faith, there must be an outward manifestation. And that was what James said when he said that Abraham's faith, cooperating with his works, made God declare him righteous. That he did not say, I'm of faith, and sit at home, refusing to sacrifice Isaac. Are you getting my point? But because he obeyed, righteousness, all right, was conferred upon him. I'm bringing out something. That the righteousness that is inside the heart of the believer comes out and does righteous works. What I mean by that is different from the matter of acts of kindness, which we said we used to buy treasure in heaven. That's different. We are talking about doing simply what is right. Let me say it. Any child of God that wants to prosper financially must refuse to do that which is evil. That's what I'm saying. Quickly, let's go back to the book of Job. There's a particular point we see there. This is very important. It said in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Let me read that again. This man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And the summary of it is that he said he had this number of sons and daughters, this number of possessions, and that this man, the Bible says, was the greatest of all the men of the East. This is the foundation. The man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Do you get my point? Listen, the path of God to prosperity means that your hands must be clean. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means what? Your hands must be clean. You must be known for your integrity. You know, listen, I like the gospel of Jesus Christ when it is purely preached. That is, preached in its pure form. You will understand that there is no difference between your church and your house. What I mean is this. You cannot do crookedness in your business and at home, and you go and do Thanksgiving. I like what the one man of God said. He said, when you bring such money to church, you have just come to report yourself. Say, God, here I come, thief, rogue. I'm robber. In case you doubted that I'm a thief, this is the proceeds of my crime. As you are dropping the money in the offering basket, God is signing your judgment paper. Kill him. Frustrate him. Remove peace from his mind and remove health from his bones. Say why? He has brought the proof. We're checking before, is he really a thief or they are lying about him? Now he has shown us the proof. That is a rogue. You get what I'm saying? It is false religion that tells you, build a church for God. It doesn't matter if you stole money to build it. It's false religion that will tell you, as long as your name is upon the temple and the heavens know that you are the one that built it, it doesn't matter. Your place is secure. That is false religion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, though. It is yourself you are sacrificing to when you sacrifice the proceeds of iniquity. You know, when men have, they have made fake drugs, sold fake drugs. Children have died from consuming fake drugs. Adults have become crazy from consuming fake drugs. They have ruined people's lives. Christmas time, they go home and build a church for God. As if that will remove the effect of their evil. Say, Pastor Banky, I have done that now. So what do I do? I'll tell you, the first thing you do is to repent and be converted. Let me tell you the truth. We say salvation is free. Salvation is free. We don't read that thing in context. Salvation is free means you don't pay money. That's all it means. But that is totally free is a lie. There is a cost of salvation. The man who was rich from crooked money needs to become poor to be saved. This is the truth. It's not nice. You can hang around the bishop that tells you it's a lie. Believe me. The fact is that Jesus looked at that young man and said, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. He said, you have treasure in heaven. Then you come and follow me. The Bible said the man turned away sad. Do you get my point? And Jesus looked and said, how difficult is it for them that are rich to enter into the kingdom? Salvation has a cost. If you have been prospering from cheating, you know, instead of 50 liters, after they pay for you, your pump delivers 42. Believe me, one day your police station will catch fire. Look, and the house you use the money to build, it won't rain, you know. There will be nothing. It will just collapse suddenly. It will just collapse. And you'll be wondering, what happened? Let me tell you what happened. All the people who have been saying, God punish you, God punish you, God punish you, as we were cheating them, it has been adding up. Some went to the foundation of the house. Some took the beams. Some were in the roof. Then one day, the curses became full. Pwah! The destruction was determined, overflowing with righteousness, the Bible says. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The believer that wants to prosper, number one thing he does is to depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. He runs away from iniquity. I hope you've got my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.